I know that some of you are probably going, man, Pastor Rick is wearing a t-shirt today. That's not cool. But we want to, again, start talking about spiritual gifts. And so this was a gift that I got for Father's Day. Our daughter Tina got it for me. She was so excited that she brought it over to me on Friday night while we were packing and getting ready to go to Mexico. And she picked it out. She ordered it like 6 weeks ahead of Father's Day because she saw it. If you can't read it from back there, it says, Pastor, because Devil Stomping Ninja is not an official job title. But she got just the right color and everything. And so if I took this shirt and just kind of slid it back into my drawer and never wore it, how do you think she would feel? Wouldn't it feel? Her feelings would be hurt. She wouldn't be very happy. And so Sherry made sure to take a picture of me this morning to send to her and saying, look, he's wearing your shirt. But I realized as we've been here for, we're about the middle of our first full year together, and I realized that there are some people who are wanting to do team together, who are wanting to work together for the kingdom, but maybe they're not quite sure where you fit in. Or maybe you're not sure what opportunities there are to share your talents and your gifts. And so over the course of the next 6 weeks, as we try to discover our gifts, we'll have some opportunities for you to find out where your gifts can actually be used in the church and where there is a need for them. I want to share with you a quote from John MacArthur to start this morning. He says that, we're going to have to change the color on those letters, it looks like. No local congregation will be what it should be, what Jesus prayed that it would be, what the Holy Spirit gifted and empowered it to be, until it understands spiritual gifts. So until we understand exactly what spiritual gifts are, John MacArthur says, we'll never be all that we're supposed to be as a church. And so the reason that we're digging into that today. Here's another piece of scripture, and if you want to buzz ahead for me, Jim, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says, each of us should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Martin Luther says, we are all ministers in the gospel. Some of us are just clergymen or pastors. So as we put those two verses together, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Who does it say the minister of this church is? You are the minister in this church. And what does it say that you have been given? What have you received? Each of you has received a gift. What does it say that you are to do with that gift? You are to serve. And why does it say we should use what we have so that we can be considered faithful stewards? This is, spiritual gifts are a serious business to God. See, we've all received a gift that we are to use to serve and to be faithful. Now, Arrowhead Stadium, if you're a football fan, especially Kansas City Chiefs, holds about a little over 75,000 people. And on a home Sunday, there are two teams playing with about 53 people on each football team. So there's 106 people who are performing for our benefit. Now that's a ratio of one performer for about 750 people. Unfortunately, church can be like that as well. We can do that with our spiritual gifts. There can be very few people using their spiritual gifts in a large church or even in our community. And so we want to talk about spiritual gifts. First Peter said that we are given a gift, each of us, every one of us, to serve, not to put that gift on a shelf, not to put it in the drawer along with all your other Father's Day ties that you receive, men, but to use for good. Not to be regifted. Can't give your gift to somebody else, but we are to use our gifts. And so today we begin this series. Again, we are looking to move from spectator or pew potato, I call them, into faithful stewards of the Lord. So I'm going to use the word gift today. It's kind of an acrostic to get us through here. And so we're going to kind of unwrap this word gift and see where God takes us. And so the G in gift stands for grace gift, grace gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." Even in Paul's days, he's got this thing, we need to know more about spiritual gifts. He says, "I want you to understand them as we go forward." In chapter 12, verse 4, he continues, "There are different kinds of gift, but the same Spirit distributes them." So we have all these different gifts, and these gifts come from the same source. They come from the Holy Spirit who distributes them. It's that same Holy Spirit that dwells in us as children of God. So we could say that these spiritual gifts, the word spiritual gifts, could actually be translated as result of grace. We have these spiritual gifts as a result of grace. The spiritual gift that you have is from the grace of God. If you're unhappy with your gift or you desire some other gift, what you're telling God is that he messed up, that I am not happy with the gift that you've given me. Right after we moved back here from Manhattan, the first Christmas that we had back with our girls all here, our oldest grandson got this little cup called a Snackies. I don't know if you've seen them on the TV commercials or what. It got drink in the bottom, and then on the top, it's got a little container where you can put like goldfish or pretzels and things like that. And he was, out of all the gifts he got, that was the greatest gift in the world. Our five-year-old grandson was looking at that going, Why didn't I get a Snackies? Why didn't I get it? All the gifts he got, we had an emotional meltdown over a Snackies cup. He wanted somebody else's gift. See, a spiritual gift has been supernaturally given to us. And the supernaturally, we are empowered to use it. All of us could probably learn to be a good teacher, but that may not be our gift. We may not be using our gift to the full potential. Somebody else who has been gifted to be a teacher would do a little bit better job, therefore in the kingdom for us. So it's not a gift that we can just learn. It's not a tool that we can develop, but it is something that has been given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit and energized to use it as such. So the first thing that we see with spiritual gifts are they're not something that we can earn. They're not something that we even deserve. They are a result of grace, just like our salvation. It is because of God's favor that we have been given these gifts. The I in gift stands for individual gifts are important. Individual gifts are important. Let's listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 8. "To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He gives them to each one just as he determines." Romans 12 also talks about a list of gifts: prophecy, teaching, exhortation, leadership, mercy. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 speaks to another possibility of gifts. He says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." What I want to point out to you this morning are these words: to one, to another, and to still another, to some. In Ephesians chapter 4, to some will be. See, we all can't be the same. If I put on my tool belt and all I've got is a hammer, five or six hammers, I'm not going to be very effective in my tasks. But God has given all of us a gift. Some people have one gift. Some people may have two gifts. I have found that over my time in ministry, some people, their gifts may change depending on where they are placed in the body of Christ. They are to be used at that time. They are important to what's going on. All of the gifts are important. Each is significant in its own right. Let me pull out one more tool here real quick. I have a screw gun drill here that I could use to do big screws. But if I wanted to fix my glasses, this probably wouldn't be a very good tool. So I'd have to use this little tiny screwdriver. Which one's more important? Neither is more significant than the other. They are both vitally important. So no matter how small we think our gift is, it's been given to you for a purpose as an individual. Now, we may want other gifts, but that's not how God works. At our house, maybe if you had kids, you understand, like at Christmas when kids are younger, our girls did it, they would count how many packages everybody had underneath the tree. And then they would look and see how big their packages are compared to everybody else's packages. Now, as they got older, they began to understand that it wasn't the number of packages that were under the tree or how many there, you know, how many they were, how big they were, but what they got was more important. What we gave to Amanda, our middle daughter, would never be a good gift for our older daughter, Tina. And what we gave to Tina wouldn't be a good gift for our younger daughter, Julie. And so God is the same way in our church family. He understands that a gift for me may not be a good gift for you, but your gift would be a great gift for me. I would love to be able to sing, or even, have you ever watched Fred play this? There's so much motion going on down here. I'd love to be able to play that. But music is not my gift. When I look at music, all I see are a bunch of cows jumping over a fence. We'll be in practice and Ron will go, hey, we're going to try to do that in the key of F. And I'm like, what the heck? Key of F? Key of G? I don't know. Just play something and I'll sing along. It's not my gift. And as much as I'd like to have that gift sometimes, it's not the gift that God gave me. And so I shouldn't desire or be unhappy with the gifts that I've got. God chose me. He gave me the gifts that I have and he thought that they were important for me. Whatever gift he's given you, he picked you to have that gift. He thought so much of you and wanted you to do so well. He gave you the gift that he gave. He must think you are exactly the person to use that gift to minister to somebody else. And that's the beauty of this whole thing. God knows you so well, and he's given you the right gift to be used at the right time. Use your gifts and don't desire somebody else's gift. Now, I told you that spiritual gifts are serious business, and here is the greatest evidence of that, if you would. In the F in gift stands for from the Trinity, all right? From the Trinity. It's amazing, again, how all the gifts are distributed and how they function. The Holy Trinity is involved in the whole process of spiritual gifts. We've already discovered that our gifts are distributed by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that hands them out. He's kind of like Santa Claus at Christmas at our house. One of our daughters gets to be the hander out, the distributor of the gifts. And so that's the role of the Holy Spirit in the church, to distribute the gifts to the people who are here. He determines what we need and who gets what gift. So we learn that we're all gifted in some way. But it is Jesus Christ, the Son, who gives us a ministry. Jesus Christ equals ministry. He's the one that tells us what we should do. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. Find these words. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. Right? See to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. It seems that Archippus is ministering in Colossae, and he has been given a task to do, a ministry that he has to complete. And who was that ministry given to him by? The Lord. The Lord had something in mind for Archippus to do. Paul kind of clarifies this for us in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He says, however, I consider my life nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. Now, what is that task? The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. It was Jesus Christ himself who gave Paul the task of testifying to the gospel. It was the Holy Spirit that gave Paul the gift of evangelism. And here we see that the Lord is the one who gave him the assignment. You have been given a gift as well. Just as Paul received his gift through the Holy Spirit, you receive your gift by the grace of the Holy Spirit. And you have been called to use it to minister to somebody, either in our church family, outside our church family in the community, but you have been called to use that gift by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it may not be clear to you at this time what you're to do with your gift, but Christ will make it readily clear to you when it is time to use your gift. He will let you know when to use that gift. And that's why things like prayer and Bible study and fellowship with other Christians are important. Because through those mechanisms and through worship, we keep in touch, we become develop a more clear relationship with the Lord so that we can understand when he's speaking to us. So when he's telling us, hey, I need you to use your gift. Have you ever been somewhere where maybe you're putting gas in your car and the guy next to you on the pump is counting out change to go get gas? You know, maybe he's hoping to get, you know, $2 or $3 worth of gas. And is that a clear sign from the Lord that maybe you're to use your gift in some way? Sherry and I were in Lawrence one day, and we pulled up to a gas station, and Sherry looks across the street. She's my Dave. Anybody been through Financial Peace with Dave Ramsey? Everybody know who that is? This is my Dave Ramsey. We pull up to the pump, and she goes, hey, gas is 3 cents a gallon cheaper on the other side of the street. So I'm like, put the gas cap back on, and we drive across the street. And as I start to pump gas, a lady pulls up next to us in a car. She's got 3 kids in the back crying. She was fleeing from an abusive husband and trying to get to the shelter, but she was almost out of gas. It had been easy to go, yeah. But see, God was speaking to Sherry at least. And saying, hey, I've got a ministry for you across the street. See, God will give us those opportunities. Probably all of us have been in a situation where we felt that God was calling us to share the gospel or to pray for somebody or at least speak a word of encouragement to them, and we're kind of like, nah, it's kind of uncomfortable. See, that's God giving you a ministry to perform. And we have to be able to discern what's going on and where to use our gifts so that we'll know when we're being called to use them. Remember that first verse I gave you? Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. What are you called to be? You are called to be faithful servants. Use the gifts that God has given you to minister to other people. Those are not gifts just for you. You are to use them for other people. Now, the results of those ministries, because we've all probably shared the gospel sometimes, and when we got done, we thought like we just banged our head against the wall, that the people didn't hear what we were trying to see or to minister to people. But the Holy Spirit gives us the gift. The Lord Jesus calls us to ministry, and it is God the Father who is in charge of the results, right? Paul says that he used his gift that he was called to share. That was the gospel. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 through 6, we find these words. Who then is Paul, who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Holy Spirit gives us the gift. The Lord Jesus Christ calls us to ministry. And then the Lord takes over. Lord God takes over. And he is responsible for the results. Paul planted the seed, right? Probably shared the gospel with somebody. Apollos watered it. He probably did some teaching to help them understand better this gift of grace that they all had. And then it is God that brought the results and increased the body of Christ at that time. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 is a great verse. It says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared us in advance to do." See, get that? We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God is responsible for the results, and he created you to do good works. He prepared you in advance to know exactly what you were supposed to do and when you were supposed to do it. He knew the gift that you were going to get from the Holy Spirit. He knew what ministry Christ was going to call you to, and he is responsible for the results that are going to take place. So how important are spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are so important that every component of the Holy Trinity is involved in using them. Distributing, assigning, and getting the results. That tells me right now that spiritual gifts are serious kingdom business to God. Otherwise, he wouldn't have distributed a gift to you to use if you weren't going to use it, if you were going to ignore Jesus Christ's call to ministry. Spiritual gifts are important to God. For all three components, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to be involved, you know that we're talking about serious stuff. Because the T stands for the common good. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." It is the common good. The gift that God gave you is to be used as a blessing. The gift that you have is not for your pleasure. It is not to be put on a shelf and be admired. It's not to be put away to use hopefully someday. God has given you a gift to be a blessing to somebody. If you are not using your spiritual gift, you are robbing somebody of a blessing that God wants to give them. If we begin to look at our spiritual gifts in that way, that I'm not doing God's work and I'm cheating somebody else out of their blessing, then we can get an idea how important these gifts are. You are not in First Baptist Church by accident. God has placed you here for a reason. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. You're here because God wanted you to be here. You have the gift that you have because God wanted you to have it, and the Holy Spirit gave it to you by grace. Jesus has called you here to this church to do some kind of ministry, and we are to be faithful stewards and do it and leave the rest up to God. Verse 27 simply just reinforces this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. So the tasks that he's given us are important. But the church only works if each of us do our part. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." If part of us aren't using our gifts, then we cannot be the church that we are called to be. If somebody in church fails to use their gift properly, that means that somebody else has to pick up the slack. That means my hammer has to try to put the screw into the wood, or my tape measure has to screw the screw in. Now, I could probably pound a nail with my tape measure, but eventually it's probably going to break, and the nail's not going to go in very far. So when you fail to use your gift for the common good, that means somebody else in church has to pick up the slack. And that may not be their gift. Now, they may be able to do it or attempt it, and I'm sure that God will bless it because of their faithfulness and trying, but it could be much more effective if you have that gift and you're to use it. That way, that person can go back and use the gifts they've been given to please God for the common good. So when we have people in church who come and don't use their gifts, we have a shortcoming somewhere. Somewhere we are not doing our part. By the grace of a very gracious God, you have been given a gift. It is an important gift that individuals are to use in the service of God. There are a variety of gifts that we are to use. Let me loosen this up a little bit. Let me ask you this morning. How many of you are Coca-Cola drinkers? Few? How many of you would rather drink Pepsi? Whoa, some of you really like Pepsi. How about root beer? Right? How many of you would like to go to Olive Garden over Longhorn Steakhouse? Longhorn Steakhouse. McDonald's. See, we have a variety of people in church. My wife loves pasta. I'm not a huge pasta fan. I'd rather go get a piece of meat that's about half cooked on my plate with a baked potato. You know, run the cow by, carve a chunk off, flip it on the grill a couple times, and let's go. But I go to Olive Garden sometimes to please her. And she'll go to Steakhouse with me to please me. But we're all different. We all have different kinds of gifts. You have been given a gift by the Holy Spirit. Jesus has called you to a ministry, and God's going to take care of the rest. If we'll just trust Him, He'll take care of the rest. Now, this is important, and I want to share this with you because we've got some discussion down the road that we're going to have in this topic. I don't usually like to air dirty laundry in public like this, but I think it's important that we understand. In the last 10 years, the worship attendance at First Baptist Church has dropped 33%. 33%. Something is going on. Even if we take away the last couple of years with the transition time, it's still 28% decrease in worship attendance over that 8-year period. Our baptism to membership ratio is extremely, extremely low. If we go by membership, we're somewhere in the neighborhood of like one baptism for every 53 people. A really good church will be about one for every 10 to 15 members. Something is going on. I don't have all the answers yet, but I know that we have to do one thing. We've got to pull up our big boy and big girl panties, and we've got to figure out what's going on. Does that mean that we're not using our spiritual gifts properly? Are there some other things that we have to do? But this is the beginning. We need to look at our spiritual gifts and make sure that we're using all the gifts that we have been given. Because something is amiss here in church. If you have your Bibles, I don't have this up on the screen, but turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Because as I think of those words, I begin to think about this passage. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." This idea of people not serving and not using their spiritual gifts is nothing new. This was going on in Jesus' time. Jesus had to encourage the people, hey, ask for more people to be a part of what's going on. And why was he so concerned about this? Because it says that he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. We live in a day and age where there are countless numbers of people who are harassed and helpless in their feeling about what's going on in society today. And those people are counting on us as the church to use our spiritual gifts given to us by the grace of God, called to ministry by Jesus Christ, to help them out. Whatever form that may be, I have no idea yet as I just get used to what's going on here and try to find the Lord's leading. But there is a harassed and helpless society out there that is looking for us to use our spiritual gifts. Some of our spiritual gifts will be used out there. Some of our spiritual gifts will be used in here to help prepare people to go out there. But we have to use our spiritual gifts. It is only when all of us do our part that our gifts can be used to make us the church that we are supposed to be. The church that we should be, the church that Jesus prayed we would be, and what the Holy Spirit gifted us and empowered us to be. But there's two things I want you to understand this morning before we close up here. I'm not here to guilt you into serving, right? I'm just laying out the facts. I'm just trying to point out that there are gifts from God that are not being used away. The God who created the whole universe picked you, gave you a gift, and says, now, use this for the good of my kingdom. This is God telling you to use your gifts, not Pastor Rick. I'm just pointing out that he says we are to. Someday, we will have to answer for whether we used our gifts or not. Someday, we'll have to answer for whether or not we even abused our gifts. But we are going to have to account for the use or lack of use of our spiritual gifts. The second thing and the most important thing I want to share with you about that is your salvation is not on the line this morning if you're not using your spiritual gifts, right? Our salvation is a gift from God. He's not going to take it away from you. That is separate. It is the gift of God by grace, not of works. So please don't think I'm telling you that you're not going to heaven if you don't use your spiritual gifts. Your salvation is done because Christ went to the cross and bore our sins on him. But we do have something going on here that we need to address in some way. Towards the end of this series, I'm going to hand out a spiritual gifts inventory. If you've been in church for any number of years, you've probably done one. But I'm going to cheat it. I'm not going to give you the key until the very last weekend. I don't want you presuming what your gift is. I want you to be honest in filling out the survey as we get close to the end and then look at the key and go, wow. Because just because we like to do something doesn't mean that that's our gift. And then we're going to give you a list of opportunities in the coming year where your gift might fit in to the church family. How we can use your gift for the common good. Not only a First Baptist Church, but of Augusta and of Butler County, the common good of all the people that we come in contact with. Because again, Father, Son, Holy Spirit says that we have gifts that we are to use for the kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you. Just as I wear this t-shirt today, it is my personal hope that I don't fail you in the use of my gifts. I pray that you would make it abundantly clear, not only to me, but to each and every person in here this morning, as we go through our time, what is their gift? What gift have you deemed so important that you gave it to this one, and this one, and this one, and this one, and then you gave someone over there to be this, and someone over there to be that? I pray that in the coming weeks, Lord, that you would just make it abundantly clear to us what our part in this church family is right now, so that we can be the church that you want us to be. Not the church that we want to be, not the church that pleases us, but the church that you want us to be. The church that Jesus prayed we would be, the church that the Holy Spirit gifted us to be. And that should be our only hope right now, our only prayer, Lord, that we would be your church. Whatever it takes, whatever it means, for the common good of not only each and every individual in here, but those outside of our church who need to know Jesus Christ. I pray that if there's somebody here this morning, Lord, that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they would understand that the greatest gift that we've been given is the gift of eternal life through trusting in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation, his atoning work on the cross, because each and every one of us are sinners. I pray that if there's somebody here this morning, Lord, that wants to secure their eternal destiny, place their trust in Jesus Christ, that you would speak to their heart this morning. Again, Lord God, I just pray that you would guide us and lead us in the next 5-6 weeks, that we would be your church, the church that you desire us to be. I ask these things in the name of your most precious and holy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand if you would. We are going to sing Only Trust Him. Not trust in ourselves, not trust in what we think our gifts are, but we're only going to trust in Him to lead us to be the person we need to be and the church that we need to be.